espacio.
Welcome each one here this morning. I hope that you've come with a heart for God. Good to see Don back with us this morning. Been a few rounds around since you've been here, Don. We're glad to see you looking back perky again. All right. Let me tell you about my father. You want to listen? I'm not going to talk to you about my dad this morning. I really felt strongly that the Lord wanted me to focus on him as our father. And I want this to be a challenge to us and a blessing to us in a couple of different ways. The kids have the notes. Anybody that needs notes? Okay. Dads, I want you to look at the notes afterwards. There's two questions on there that I asked the kids to answer. One of those is, what would you like to hear your dad tell you or say to you? Another one is, what would you like your dad to do with you? These are learning opportunities, dads. I remember so distinctly when Luke was having a Lead Like Jesus teaching here, how powerful, how emotional that was. I don't think there was a man there that didn't cry. When the thought was put to us, what would you like to hear your dad say to you right now? Yeah, that was strong. And so dads, take an opportunity. And if your kids are older and they're not doing the notes this morning, you want to do something that's really connecting, just ask your child to be honest with you what they would like to hear you say. It's amazing how many children have never heard their dad tell them, I love you. Or it's amazing how many children have never heard their dad say, I'm proud of you. Words that we all need to hear. And so it's a learning experience for us as dads. And I admit that I have a lot to learn about that. It's something I've worked on over the last number of years that I realized that I had failed in so many times. So let's think about our Father this morning. When we think about fathers, we think about a lot of things. We think about somebody that provides for us, somebody that protects us in a lot of ways. For some people, thinking about their father is very disturbing, very negative. Their father was very abusive or unappreciative. All that they ever heard from their dad in relation to themselves were negative things. And so it's important for us to think about our father. The other thing that I wanted us to say and wanted to say to you is, not only is this directed to dads this morning and the opportunity for this to be a learning experience for us, it's also something for each and every one of us here to pick up on, because it tells us what our Heavenly Father is like. And we've kind of developed an image of what our Heavenly Father is like by what our dad is or isn't. And that's unfortunate in most cases. But it's reality. And so for those of us who think of our dad and only can think of negative things or things that are hurtful, for us this morning to focus on our Heavenly Father And what He is to us and what He wants to be to us can be very uplifting, very strengthening. And I want us to take hold of this morning. So let's just think a little bit. What does a perfect father look like? If you could pick the perfect father, what are some things that you would list? Just name some. Okay, patient. Come on, you guys, you got more stuff in your mind than that on this. A leader. Got compassion.
Present.
He's there. Okay, he's present.
Provider.
He's a provider.
A pleasant countenance on his face.
Oh, a pleasant countenance on his face. Okay, good one. Anybody else?
Gentle.
Okay, all of those are good. If a man has all of those, does that make him a perfect father?
A good start,
for sure. Very sure. So what do we think of when we think of a perfect father? You know, it's kind of interesting. When kids are little, that's when they got the perfect dad, right? My dad's the strongest. My dad can beat up your dad. My dad can do this. My dad can do anything. On and on and on. But as we begin to get older, what do we focus on? Most of the time in our lives, unfortunately. What do we focus on?
Negative.
Our dad's faults. His things that don't measure up. That's what part of the issue is with this whole thing of a perfect father, is our expectation. Okay, when the kid was little and dad was perfect, did dad change as the kid grew up? Most likely not. So maybe dad was more perfect than we thought as we got older. I don't know. What was your father or is your father's best trait? When you think about your dad, what was one of the best things that you most appreciate about him? Anybody?
Love the word.
Love the word, okay.
Never met a stranger.
Integrity. Okay. Some good qualities. And if we do this on the flip side, I think all of us could name some faults that our dad had. Things that they failed in. Things they weren't measuring up in. What kind of a father do you wish you had? You know, we build these things in our mind. And I'm asking these questions not to get us to focus on our earthly father, but I want us to think about how this relates to our heavenly Father. What kind of a father do you wish to be? Those of you that are dads here today. You know, what kind of a father are you trying to be? Are you intentional about it? Are you making efforts to be the kind of dad that when you get old and when you're gone, your children and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, if they're alive then, will look at you and say, "Wow. I'm so thankful that this guy was my dad or my grandfather." Or will your children say, "Oh, I mean, yeah, he's my dad, I love him, but, What kind of father do you wish to be? It's never too late to make changes. And I told you I've recognized some things in my own life. And I'm making efforts to change some of those things. So these are questions that we need to think of. But I want them to include us as dads. But I want us to look a lot farther than that, okay? We have a choice of two fathers. I hope you're aware of that. We have a choice of two fathers. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you're of your father, the devil. Hoo-hoo. Wow. You like to be told that? Jesus standing here teaching this morning, he says, you're of your father, the devil. They said, oh, no, no, no. No, we're doing everything right. We are upright. We are good people. But he says he was a murderer from the beginning, and he's a liar and the father of it. The devil is the originator of lies. It started with him. And so Jesus says, you're of your father, the devil. So we have a choice of two fathers. We can either choose a liar and a murderer for our father, or we can choose the Father who is perfect. My Father is perfect. When you look at that verse, what is the normal focus of that verse for us? Which part of that verse do we normally focus on? The first part. Be ye therefore perfect. But the second part is the key part. The part, and we often don't even stop and think about it. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Your Father is perfect. Is that awesome or what? Your Father is perfect. He's not lacking. He's not missing any of the qualities that He needs. Everything that you would desire in a Father is there. So I want us to notice this morning. And I mentioned already, and this picture kind of focuses on it, generally at this age, we're thinking of our father's imperfections. We're realizing, and as fathers, as we get older, I remember my dad, when he was older, saying that he thinks about it more and more, how much he's failed in being a father. But our God doesn't have to do that. He doesn't look back and say, oh, I've failed. He doesn't say, oh, I wish that I had treated Harold differently. Oh, I wish that I had done this for my children. We're talking about a Father who is perfect. And I want us to focus on this morning. I want this to be something that we take hold of. I have a perfect Father. Now that's key to understanding life. It's a key to living life victoriously. The thing that happens is when we recognize the perfection of our Father and the awesomeness of our Father, we want to be like our dad. We want to show that to others, don't we? That's what he's saying. You be perfect like your father. You're showing your father to everyone. Now, if we had somebody mentioned that their dad never met a stranger, and so when someone makes that compliment in regard to your dad and says, you're a chip off the old block, it, you know, just kind of makes your chest swell with pride, right? Because you're like your dad in a way that was a good way. So when we show the Father's image to others around us, we're like our dad. You have your Father's eyes. You have your Father's hands. You have your Father's feet. You have your Father's character. And you're displaying that to the world. So that's the point here. The point is not for us to whip ourselves into position to to somehow discipline ourselves and bring ourselves into line so that we're perfect. No, the point is, our Father is perfect. And as He becomes our Father, and we realize, and when I say becomes our Father, as we realize that He is our Father, and as we realize what He's doing within us, and we begin to express His character to those around us, there's a beauty there. There's a blessing there. So that's something I want us to get a hold of this morning. Now, the beautiful thing about this Father, my Father, is He knows exactly what I need before I even ask. Don't be like He's saying here, don't be like the Gentiles and like the heathen and like the publicans. The Gentiles, they seek after all these things. The heathens, they're always wrapped up in all the stuff. And the publicans and the Pharisees and those guys, they're all wrapped up in their stuff. He says, don't be like them. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask. How many times do we try to learn something? I had to think about this morning. Tom mentioned the prayer of Jabez in class. One of the things that we try to learn is some kind of a key so that we can twist God's arm to where He'll give us what we want, right? We learn that with our dads. You know, if we know, you know, no, don't ask Dad right now. It's not going to work. You know, we know that there's certain things that are going to have to happen. Certain things are going to have to be just right if we want certain things to happen when we ask our dad. And so with God, we try to do the same thing. We kind of try to learn something. If we say the right words, if I do the right thing, if this is in place, then I can ask God and He'll give me what I want. No. He already knows exactly what you need before you ask. Not only that, He loves to give me good gifts. There's just one problem. What's the problem here with this point? God loves... How many believe God loves to... Honestly, don't not just say... How many believe God loves to give us good gifts? Okay, why don't we get everything that we want? Not everything's good for us, okay. So what's the problem with this verse here about Him giving good things to those that ask Him? I've got cancer. I pray to God and say, God, I want to be healed. That would be the best gift that I could get, right? Maybe. And maybe not. From my limited perspective, at this point in time, yes, that would be the best gift. But from the Father's view, it may not be the best gift for me and for the whole family. Right? So we have... This is something that's key. Because we have got to understand, and we have got to believe in our hearts. You see, the reason people get so angry with God is because I asked God for this and He didn't give it to me. He's not a good father. No, no, no. Back up. He's a perfect father. He knows what we need before we ask, and He loves to give us good gifts. Okay? Now, let's get those things established in our hearts, in our mind. We've got to recognize this. We've got to lay hold on this. God loves to give His children good gifts. What's the problem? The problem is my definition of good gifts and his definition of good gifts is not the same. You remember the story of the young man graduating from college, wanted a Corvette. And his dad gave him a little box for his graduation gift. And when the boy opened it, it was a Bible. And he was angry. And he threw the Bible in a corner. And it laid there, laid away, moved, whatever. And finally, after years, he was in a bad... His father had died. He was in a bad shape. And he turned to the Bible. And as he opened the Bible, he found a piece of paper. And the piece of paper said, go to so-and-so car dealer and pick up your car. Did his father give him a good gift? Did his father give him what he wanted? He didn't think so, did he? Didn't look like it at the time. Had he only accepted the truth that his father was giving him a good gift, he would have been doubly blessed, wouldn't he? Now, I'm not saying that if we accept this truth, we get what we want. That's not my point. My point is the Father knows the things we have need of. And if He doesn't bring certain things into our lives that we think are not gifts, we're not going to get to the place where we appreciate the gifts that He does give. Okay? But we've got to establish these facts in our mind. He is a merciful God. He is a merciful Father. That's who He is. And so, He tells us, here again, and it's interesting, why do we not focus on this verse as much as we did the first one? I don't remember growing up hearing this verse nearly as often as I heard the verse, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven. But they're both the same. Be like your Father. Be like your Father. Your Father's merciful. Maybe we grew up with a father that was very harsh and unforgiving and unmerciful. And we have trouble with that. What I'm telling you this morning is reality. It's truth. It's something that we've got to lay hold on. God is a merciful God. That's who He is. As your Father is merciful. And notice, in 2 Corinthians, and this has really stood out to me over the last number of years, the Father of mercies. They originated with Him. Just like lies originated with the devil, mercies originated with God our Father. That's where they started. That's where mercies came upon this earth and came into our lives, is from the hand of Almighty God. He is merciful. And as we take on His character, as we become more like our Father, we become more merciful, right? So a person that claims to be a Christian and is very harsh and unforgiving and demanding hasn't recognized who their Father really is, or else they're not a Christian, one or the other. We learn to be like our Father. Our Father is merciful. Thank God that He's merciful. Every day, His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, He's ready with more mercy for our lives. If it wasn't for those mercies, what would happen to us? The Bible tells us. What would happen to us if it wasn't for those mercies? We'd be consumed. We'd be done. History gone. If it wasn't for those mercies that are new every morning. Why are they new every morning? Because that's His heart. That's who He is. He's the Father of mercies. One of the things we do when we pray, and I don't know if you ever thought about this, the Lord's Prayer is one that many of us have grown up praying, just kind of memorized it and pray it on occasions, and often don't think about what we're saying. But I want us to think about what Jesus is telling us here. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father. Perfect Father. Merciful Father. A Father who knows what we need. A Father who loves to give good gifts. And when we stop and we think about this, the rest of the prayer makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Your name. We want Your name to be great in the earth. We want Your will to be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And yet you can go on down through the prayer and think about that. We're praying to our Father. We're not praying to some distant, impersonal being that has no interest in our lives. We're not praying to some dumb idol that's speechless and hears nothing and cares nothing. We're praying to our Father. And so we come and we say, Our Father, Daddy, Papa, the One that loves us. The One that cares about us. The One that we matter to more than anybody else. We're coming to Him. We're talking to Him. And I hope that in your personal time with God, that you feel this. That you come into His presence as a father, as a child to a father, to the perfect Father, and lay hold on that. Grace and peace come from God our Father. Now, we said God is merciful, but this struck me in a new way as I looked across Paul's writings. Every one of them starts with this. Either grace and peace, or grace, mercy, and peace, or grace and mercy. They have some combination. Every one of them. Grace and peace from God our Father. We already talked about mercy, so that's why I didn't bring that in here. Grace and peace from God our Father. No wonder Paul was so effective in his ministry. He knew who his Father was. And he had that assurance, that confidence, that strength within him. This is my Father, and I excuse me, I desire, my longing is that you'd know my Father. That you'd be able to have Him as your Father as well. And that's what moved him. He says the love of Christ constrains me. It just motivates me and pushes me on. He's given us everlasting. I want us to especially notice that phrase. Hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Our Father has given us everlasting consolation and good hope. Now, if you've got everlasting consolation and good hope, what kind of a person are you going to be? If we lose those, what kind of a person are we going to be? Our Father's given them to us through His grace. So we need to be thankful. These are some of the good gifts that He loves to give to us. Grace and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father to His children. How often does God give to us grace, mercy, and peace? You have any idea? Once a day? Okay, for sure every morning. His mercies are renewed every morning. For sure it happens then. I'm thinking that it probably happens a lot more than that. But if our earthly Father would actually give us a gift every morning, we'd be pretty impressed, wouldn't we? We'd think that was awesome. But our Heavenly Father gives us gifts continually. If grace, mercy, and peace were the only three gifts that He ever gave us, would it be worth it? Are they the only three gifts He ever gives to us? Absolutely not. But I just wanted us to focus on them this morning. When we look at all of this, our desire should be to glorify our Father. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but this is why Jesus was able to glorify the Father in the way that He was. Because Hebrews tells us that He was the express image of His person. And Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Grace, mercy, peace. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Your Father cares about you more than you've ever been cared for in all of your life. I think that's a message that we need to take hold of. Every one of us. And it's a message that motivates us then to glorify our Father. Jesus did that. He showed perfectly who His Father is. We're not going to be able to show perfectly who our Father is. But He would like to be able to work in our hearts and our lives so that we show Him more perfectly. Let's stand together for prayer. My prayer this morning is for you that if you've had a poor view or a wrong view of God your Father, my prayer is that you might have a better understanding. And I hope you take these truths and meditate on them. The Spirit brings them to your hearts and makes them something very strong, very useful, and a blessing in your lives in the coming days. Father, we pray that this morning. We pray, God, that Your Spirit take these truths in each of our hearts. So many of us have had fathers that have failed miserably. Maybe they haven't even tried to be good dads. And yet You're a perfect Father. That can be difficult for us to picture, to get a handle on. And yet, Lord, You've shown us some things. You've opened Your heart to us. You've shared how desperately You want to be in our lives. How You long so much to have us become like You. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. It's only by your grace and mercy and through your love expressed through the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross at Calvary for our sins that we're able to have that opportunity. But you've made it possible for every one of us throughout this whole world to experience. We thank you for that. And we pray that you help us to take hold of this in our hearts this morning and walk more closely with you each day. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.